I am, and my name is Karen. I'm a compulsive overeater and honored to be asked to speak at this meeting. And I say a quick prayer to ask God to guide my thoughts and my words as I share my program with you. I've been in this program for over 40 years. And it has blessed me with so much richness in my life. And I know that all that I have and all that I am is because of this program. In on some levels, I am not sure if I'd be alive if I didn't have this program, and truly, truly, am grateful for it in my life. A little bit of my history. I was a compulsive overeater from the day I was born. I came from a family that food was the acceptable way to stuff down feelings, and it was a way that the family could nurture folk people. And so I struggled with my weight. I have pictures of me being overweight from age 4 on, and struggling with that. And the isolation that that created, as people, as I grew up, the fat girl was the person that got teased. I didn't have many friends. My family was pretty dysfunctional, so I was really lonely. My friends were books. I would read under my covers and read books. I was pretty alone and sad. I grew up in a family where my father was a workaholic and my mom was a bipolar manic depressive that was not medicated. And so things were pretty wonky. And the only way I could deal with wonkiness was food. My mom thought she was going to marry Julio Iglesias and talked about that. And my father just was a man of few words. Again, the only thing that he could offer was food. And so food did get me through that, I have to say. But physically, it harmed me and it isolated me. And my parents got divorced. I ended up being the mom of the family at 13 in terms of cooking and living my life, holding a family together when I should have been out there trying to be with my peers, having fun. That didn't happen. I kind of coped, and I did strike out in my junior and senior year of college of going away to college. I'm getting in a program, in a degree program where I really sought it out because I wanted the friendships in there and connections. My disease never left me. It continued to be what comforted me wherever I went, until I was about 27. And I was in a job, and I was living in the Pacific Northwest, and I was in a lot of pain. I could compulsively exercise, and that helped me lose weight, but I still was in a lot of pain. I would go running over a bridge and think, I almost really want to just jump off the bridge because I was in that much pain emotionally. And it happened at that time that a friend invited me to come visit them in Seattle. And she was an addictions counselor, and she allowed me to stay in her spare bedroom. And I'm kind of bad at this, but my recovery has helped me not do this anymore. I like peeking in people's medicine cabinets or looking at their desks when I really shouldn't be doing that because that's their private space. And she had on her desk literature about Overeaters Anonymous, And I was sleeping in the room. I picked up the literature and I read it and I went, oh, this sounds like me. I think this might help me. Now, I didn't go bounding into OA after I read that literature. I did try it when I was out in the Pacific Northwest, but I was in a very public position, and some of the people that were in my work were at the meeting, and I just couldn't go and be honest. But what happened is I left the Pacific Northwest and came back to the Midwest. And when I came back to the Midwest, I just sensed that there was a solution in OA. And I moved to Wisconsin, and I really seized hold of Overeaters Anonymous. Now, I'd like to say I worked my program perfectly at 40 years ago, but what happened was I learned some of the structure program. I mean, I learned to diet. I learned to get to meetings, and it helped me. And it even got to the point where I met my husband in program, and that was lovely. But I looked at it as more of a diet and structure, which I didn't have. It helped me to grow, but there were some things missing. About 7 years ago, I became binge free and I have not been since then. And that has been a gift. It's a gift from God. It's not me, because that is a coping mechanism I have, especially at night. But something more needed to happen. It wasn't just that.2 years ago, I knew I needed more and I asked for more. I found it in terms of really working the steps and using the big book to find the God of my understanding and to work this program one day at a time. And I feel very blessed in those 2 years to have found a sponsor that helps me walk the walk and go through the steps, particularly my four-step inventory. Keeps me on the path of God path. That has been the joy of my program, is finding the God path. Because one day at a time, I have things that I have to face and deal with, that person, places, and things that I can only deal with if I trust a God of my understanding. For anybody who's a newcomer, I would say that's probably the most critical piece, is find a sponsor that you hear they have what you want, and ask them to help you. Even if you do it temporarily, you don't have this program is one of reaching out and asking for help and living that help. A sponsor was key to me in terms of finding God and working this program to understand how God can help me on a daily basis. It's not, my sponsor is a tool in this, but really God is the key to my recovery. Is trusting I have a God on a daily basis that I can talk to and trust as I move forward in the structure of program to recover one day at a time. As I've found the strength of a sponsor, I also looked for strong meetings in terms of wanting to hear more experience, strength, and hope, and the God of people's understanding. I get up at 5 a.m. our time, or 4 a.m. Now I'm up at 4 a.m. now, and I don't mind that, because I start my day with the God of my understanding and my fellows to be able to make the most of this day. And I seek that out, because the thing that I've come to understand in these last 2 years is I have a lot of fear, and I don't want to identify that I have a lot of fears, but the minute I wake up, there is fear in me, and the only way that I can deal with my fears is to approach the God of my understanding and be with you fellows to walk through them. And you know, that's one thing my sponsor always asks me, well, what are you afraid of? And it's like, don't ask me that. Don't ask me that. I don't want it. I don't want it. You know, and then I have to, she prods me and says, what's going on? Because as I can identify those fears, I can give those fears up, and I can ask God to bless me with faith to walk through what those fears are. That's my biggest character defect is allowing fear to paralyze me because of perfectionism or whatever else in terms of wanting to move forward. I work as an executive director of an agency, and I'm getting ready to retire. I retire in the first quarter of next year, and I would like to think it's my glory days in terms of whoo-hoo, I've been there 13 years. Everybody's going to say, good job, Karen. And it's been the hardest period in time in my life. I have a person under me that is challenging me all the time, that's mad that I didn't do enough, and is very difficult to deal with. And I'm having on a daily basis to come to God and ask for help. And to pray for her and pray for me in terms of how do I deal with her with that. I also had somebody come in as a consultant to look at our agency to give the board some information on how they can recruit a new person to replace me. And they, in that report, were honest about things I didn't do. And it's like, no, don't do that. I mean, again, I want my glory days, and I don't have my glory days. But I also have my sponsor and my fellows saying, don't let that take away from what all you've done in this last 13 years on behalf of the agency. And it's because of program that I'm able to continue to walk through this. I mean, I have a team that it feels that we're dysfunctional. Again, my glory day. I want my glory days, but I have a team under me that says we're not communicating and what's wrong. And even the consultant pointed out to that. And so guess what we're doing? We're going to a rage room on Tuesday to deal with, you know, to have fun with rage, but also to let go of things and then to identify what do we need to do to be able to move forward. I'm scared. I'm scared going into there, and I don't know what I'm going to learn about myself and what we're going to learn about each other, but we're going to do it. And you know, if I wasn't in a program, there's no way in heck I would agree to do that because I am so scared of anger. But it's like, okay, let's do that. And everybody agreed to do it, and as a team, and you know, all for one and one for all. It's, you know, we're gonna move through it. So hopefully I can get the team to heal a bit before they have to deal with having a new person come in place. And program's gonna help me through retirement because I have been a workaholic, and now I have to figure out who I am apart from work. And a part of me is really excited about this because I have all program people all around the country I can go visit, and I've got a hybrid car, and I'm ready to rumble. I mean, in terms of going to visit them, I've people in England that I join on Sunday mornings that I hope to meet in England after I retire. And I'm going to do things I haven't been able to do because I've been uber responsible in my job. And God has given me the ability to know myself well enough that those things are there, that planted seeds, but I'm going to have to figure it out. I'm going to need structure. And guess what? Program's going to give me structure. I have structure here in program. So the thing that I think brings people in at first is they want to lose weight or deal with their food. And I would say this place can help you with that. But this place is much more than that. And if you stay there, it's not going to last. I mean, you will slip and slide with food. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. This place offers so much more. And and no matter what you believe about God or don't believe about God, believing that there's a power bigger than you is going to be important because to be able to deal with who we are and what we are with our character defects that we learned as we were eating, this program and God are the only ways that it can make it happen. And It's taken me a long time. I wish 40 years ago I got it, but I got structure 40 years ago. So I think showing up, even if you don't do everything, is the first step in this program, is just keep showing up, give it a chance, ask for somebody to be your sponsor,
5 minutes, Karen.
thank you, ask people, and have more than one sponsor. I have more than one sponsor that I talk to. I have a food sponsor and I have a step sponsor. And that keeps me in line, in the sense of working this program. And then having a ritual. My ritual is in the morning, I get up, and I am for about at least 30 minutes, if not more, doing meditation. I do a written meditation and I share it with fellows that want it. Around Voices of Recovery, because Voices of Recovery means a lot to me. And so it's a way it's almost like I'm texting a lot of people right now. I get credits as I text other people, and then they text me back if they feel like it, and they don't have to. But after I've done that written and prayerful time, I share it with folks, and I start my day. Starting your day with meditation is important. And then during the day, living that as much as you can. I do 11-step train. I think people who have gone through the steps doing either a 10-step train or 11-step train is helpful. And that for me helped me make sure I had outreach at night, because night is hard for me to make phone calls. So I have at least one call I have to make with my 11-step train. That helps me go through my day and process it and share it with another fellow. I think getting to as many meetings as possible is important too. I'm a busy person. I mean, really busy. And I used to only get to one meeting a week. I almost get to a meeting every day now. And I fit it in, and that's the plus of COVID, is I can do this virtually with all of you. It's important to have live meetings too. And since I grew up in program in Wisconsin, I have people here that know me, so I can go to physical meetings too, and get hugs and be a part of something physically. I think again, the tenor of having a good sponsor is important. And then doing outreach calls, practicing making outreach calls. And all it could be is, hi, I'm just making an outreach call. But it can be so much more than that, with whoever is on the other end of things. I like the phrase, keep coming back, it works, because truly, if you keep showing up, this program changes your life. And you just have to be open to how it changes your life, and then be willing to work it. And work it prayerfully, and be open to what this fellowship can offer. I am truly, truly grateful for all of you that showed up this morning, and continue to show up. And I'm grateful for the blessings that have come to my life, my husband because of program, my kids, my work, all that I have in my life is really because, and it's helped me reconnect with my biological family in ways that I wouldn't have been able to if I didn't have program. They're compulsive overeaters. They're still into their patterns, but they don't affect me as much anymore because I work this program, and I am grateful for that gift. Each day I do write out my gratitudes. That's the other thing. Write out your gratitudes, and ultimately the capstone, no matter where you're at, is service. Reach out to others. Do service, even if you're just starting your program. Reaching out when somebody says they're struggling, even if you're struggling, talk to that struggling person just to say, hey, I want to connect with you. To me, my sponsor turned me on to that even more powerfully than and in a way that there's time for service. There's always time for service. And that truly will strengthen your program. So I am grateful for the honor of being here today and the opportunity to share. And with that, I'll pass.